188 years ago this week, a small band of valiant men began a long struggle for freedom. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, not only to found a nation, but to forge an ideal of freedom.
Too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Greetings, white America. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier from my log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia. Every day, we battle the loony left.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
But still, we manage to persevere because the good guys always win, even in the 20s. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. It is, of course, Tommy Freedom, and I'll be with you for the next half hour, unless I happen to run into something that I feel is a lot more important, and it will go over. And I don't know, I got a lot of stuff for you this week. I still have the whole Pantifa manual from last week to read to you. Got a bunch of stuff I want to go over, some really, really good stuff out there that's current. But before I get into that, I want to welcome a new listener, Chris, from San Diego. Chris, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on board. Don't know how you found us, but I'm certainly glad that you did. More people who listen, spread the word, and we can get our message out to the rest of our brothers and sisters out there. Now, Chris tells me that there is a mask order in Oregon that mandates masks for everyone except blacks. How they're going to enforce that, I don't know. I'm going to have to look into that and see exactly how they're managing to do that. But meanwhile, here in North Carolina, our governor, Roy Cooper, a.k.a. Comrade Cooper with a K, has mandated masks for everyone as well. It went into effect the other day. But he did this illegally, by the way. You see, here in North Carolina, an executive order must be approved by the rest of the state elected officials. And that would be the Commissioner of Agriculture, Insurance. There's, I don't know, like 8 or 10 of them in total. And they all have to approve this. When the governor makes an executive order, he has to send a letter out to every other state elected official. And then they either reject it or approve it. And it goes by vote. So think of it this way. It's very similar to a city council where a mayor has a vote brought up between the rest of the members of the city council. They vote on it. If it passes, then it passes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And the same thing applies here in the state of North Carolina with an executive order. And Comrade Cooper went ahead and sent this letter out, and it was rejected by every single other state elected official, and he went ahead and ordered it anyway. So it's actually an illegal order. And because of that, there's a lot of pushback. There are at least 6 sheriffs from 6 counties here in North Carolina out of the 100 counties who have flatly said they will not enforce it. They are there to enforce law. An executive order is not law, and therefore they will not enforce it, which is good to hear. And forcing people to wear masks, I mean, look, we know that the numbers are completely skewed. How many millions of people in this country have already had it? My case, I had it back in March. I did the show when I had it, and you guys remember how bad I sounded, but I went ahead and pushed through and did the show anyway. But I've already had this. My 86-year-old father has already had it. Actually, he's the one that gave it to me. So why am I being punished for everyone else's transgressions? Why should I be forced to wear a mask when I'm neither at risk of contracting nor spreading this virus? It's a load of crap. So I decided that if this did go into effect, which it ended up happening, and oh, by the way, before I continue with this, early in the morning, he let it slip to many of the reporters across the state that he was not going to issue this order. And then when he made his speech in the afternoon, he did a complete 180 and made all these reporters look like fools. That was a clear, calculated decision to do that. But I decided that if this went into effect, I was going to push back. I was probably going to have to wear this thing. I refuse to wear it in public, but I have to wear it in businesses because they're ones that have been tasked with enforcing this, and I'll kind of explain that. But I decided that I was going to do something to make everyone aware of the fact that I did not believe in wearing a mask. So I thought, well, what could I do? I have a military gas mask, but for God's sakes, you know, it's end of June, the beginning of July. It's just too dang hot to wear that. So I thought, well, they've said that homemade masks can actually be better than ones that you buy at the store. So they suggest that you find an item around the house that's cloth, such as a bandana or a scarf or something like that. And if it has two layers, that's even better. So I thought about it, and I said, I have the perfect item that's left in my drawer from when one of my ex-girlfriends was here. She left this item behind. And folks, it is one of her E-cup brassieres. And I folded it in half. The straps go around the back of my head. Cups over my face. It is two layers. It is cloth, and there's not a damn thing that they can do about it. So I've been wearing this thing for the past couple of days every time I have to go out in public, and it's a chore. It really is, because the cups are so big, it like pokes me in the eye and stuff, and it's really, really uncomfortable. But I'm making my point, which is the point. Another point is that Harris Teeter, one of our grocery chains here, I believe now they are owned by Kroger, has said that they are refusing to enforce it. So how this works is they're not going to cite you, the individual. There's just no way that they could do it. So it's up to the businesses to enforce this. If you go to a business, there are 11 reasons that you can state that you're not wearing a mask for health reasons. And they can say, okay, and they can let you in, or they can still turn you away and say, well, we have this mask policy. You can't come in our store. And that's how they're policing this. And if you refuse, then the cops are called and you're trespassed, and that's the end of that. But Harris Teeter flatly said that they were not going to enforce it. So I tested this the other day. I went to a Walmart neighborhood market first because I needed to get some chicken quarters, and they have a pretty good deal on that. So I was there, figured I'd get the rest of the stuff and make a nice Caesar salad. Everything was in packages except for the tomato. And I went to check out, and there were no cashiers. It was all self-checkout only. And if you have ever tried to check out with vegetables or anything else that does not have a price tag or a scanning code on it, it is absolute hell. So I'm trying to figure this out. I'm holding the tomato, and I'm pointing at the fat negress who is supervising this, or supposed to be supervising this, like three or four times. I'm pointing the tomato and pointing at the register. And finally, she waddled over and stopped about 8 feet away from me, and she's hollering instructions. She had the button right there. I can't see it. Where? Right in front of you. I can't see it. Why don't you get your fat butt over here and show me? She wouldn't come over. She wouldn't. Every place else, if you're having an issue with the scanner, they come over. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. It's right here. You know, they'll push the buttons for you. You're good to go. So finally I said, you know what? I don't need your effing tomato. And that was the end of that. Went over to Harris Teeter. They said they were going to be offering masks to people, but if they didn't want to wear them, they were going to let them in the store. They didn't even offer me a mask. Just, good morning, sir. Hey, how you doing? Walked right in the store. Got my tomato, and I noticed that every customer in the store was not wearing a mask. So apparently word has gotten around. Harris Teeter is the place to go if you still want to be mask-free in the state of North Carolina. All the employees were wearing masks, but none of the customers were. So I guess the ones who were afraid of catching anything are shopping somewhere else. But in the meantime, all of the customer bases from all the other stores who do not believe in wearing a mask are now shopping at Harris Teeter, and so shall I until this nonsense is over. But one final note about Harris Teeter. I got my tomato, walked up front, and of course the first thing I got to were the self-checkouts, and I saw a black guy standing there, and I pointed, I checked, oh, about that time I realized, oh no, it's another self-checkout. So I come up, I said, man, I just came from Walmart, and it was holy hell trying to figure this stuff out. He goes, oh, no problem. He said, He typed the thing in for me. He goes, yep, and hit this button, and you hit that button. It came up to $1.02. I put my money in, got my change, walked out the door, and it was that quick. They could have done the same thing at Walmart, but no. That lazy negress just had to act like a lazy negress and give even more points for our side. Now, as long as I'm going over stuff in North Carolina here, I want to do a little updating on that major shooting that we had here in Charlotte a couple weeks ago on Coonteenth. And this has not gotten coverage across the nation at all, but it's huge. There was like around 200 shell casings that were found. I mean, this was a mass shooting. And the update now is 4 dead and 2 were run over. So I guess 2 were shot and killed, and the other 2 were killed by getting run over. But I'm kind of thinking about this. You know, I postulated that it could have been some whites coming in. They've arrested 2 Negroes for this. So the thought could be that possibly these were gangster-involved killings where they were using the masks and everything as a cover to kind of hide their identity and make it look like it was part of the violence of the riots. But there's something very interesting. I've got 2 sound clips to play for you. The one that was played on the news is the one I'm going to play second because I heard something that caught my attention. I'm not going to bring it up right away. I'm going to see if you can pick up on it. But the first clip I'm going to play is taken from a different location. And it's much closer to the vehicle because you can actually hear the vehicle pull up and then you just hear these shots crank out. You can hear nothing but 9 mils, then what sounds like a 223 or 556 round go off semi-auto, 2 barks of that, and then what sounds like 7.62 by 39 millimeters, so an SKS and AK-47. I'm going to play that first, and there's something that is not going to be picked up on this that will be picked up very clearly on the second one. I want you to listen to this. Oh, and let me just caution you, there is some swearing in here. It's nothing major. It's just S&D. I was actually amazed that with 180 to 220 rounds being fired, that MF was never hollered. But again, there is S&D, so if you got little kids, you just might want to make them, well, actually, you don't want little kids listening to this anyway. So for the next couple of minutes, get the kids out of the room. But here's clip number 1 that is close to the actual shooting itself. Now, that was a lot of rounds being fired. I could not even keep up. But you clearly heard what sounded like an AR-15 with 2 separate shots. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Very clearly semi-auto. And you could hear the ambulance in the distance. Now, I'm going to play a second clip for you from a perspective that's right there as the ambulance is pulling up. And keep in mind, the ambulance is showing up not because there were shots fired yet, but because somebody had gotten hit by a car. So listen to this, and about 30 seconds in, and then again at 32 seconds in, so look at your watch, keep track of this, see if you can pick up on what my trained ear heard immediately.
Oh shit. But then it can't. Damn. Damn, come straight back.
Now, did you pick up on it? In the event that you didn't, let me just copy and paste that little sequence right here and listen very, very carefully. I very distinctly heard two separate barks of full-auto fire from what sounded like an M4 rifle. That was not discernible in the first clip that I played for you, which means it was coming from the opposite direction, which means that the two that they got that were shooting from that car, there were additional people involved, and it would also appear to me to be crossfire because it was coming from the opposite direction. So all the shell casings that they found, excuse me, that totaled somewhere around 200, anywhere from 181, I've also heard 212, not really important. But if they now find that there are more gunshots between the two of those than casings they found, then that will definitely prove that there was a third shooter, possibly even a fourth shooter, coming from a different location where they have not found any spent casings yet. It'll be interesting to see what's going on, because I contacted someone that I had dealt with some years ago who's a detective here at CMPD when I had an issue with the house behind me with a huge grow light, operation. Yeah, thank you, George. They had a huge grow light operation under their house. The crawl space was completely dug out about 8 feet deep, and it was amazing. So I contacted a friend of mine who was in the bureau, and he found out who to get in touch with on CMPD, and I spoke with her about this. It turns out they were growing herbs for their church, supposedly. I don't think they were ever allowed access. I think that was just the explanation that was given. But anyway, I still had her contact info, so I sent her an email, and she's like, wow, you know, thanks for this. Please don't take this the wrong way, but since you and I actually never met, and I really don't know your background, what is your training where you can discern what these different calibers are? Yeah, if you have listened to this show for any period of time, you've probably figured out who I am. In the event that you have not, you also know that I do know an awful lot about firearms for some particular reason. So anyway, I told her who I was and where she could find some additional information in the name of some of my books to confirm that. I have not yet checked my email to see what her response is, but I'm sure it probably took her aback. But this is how I'm interpreting this. That you had in that one clip, you could hear it was semi-auto only from, let's say, one side of the block, because in that one you could hear the ambulance in the distance. The other one where the ambulance is there, you can barely hear that semi-auto gunfire in the distance, and then all of a sudden you just hear that full-auto bark out. Had to have been coming from the opposite direction, or it would have been picked up by the first cell phone. So that's just something to think about, but I just want to update you on that because that is information that you are most definitely not going to hear on the news, partially because it has not been released yet, has not even been investigated by the detectives on the case yet. And it'd be interesting to see where it goes. And if I was, in fact, spot on with my judging these calibers and with my hypothesis that there's multiple shooters that are still out there firing full auto weapons. And the fact that that was what sounded like an M4 is very curious, because I'm not going to get into details on here, but there is only one part that you need to remove on a standard off-the-shelf AR-15 that will allow it to slam fire. So anyone can do that's very dangerous, and the gun can blow up in your face, but for something like that where you're up on adrenaline, pull that part, and that's exactly what it would sound like. So again, I'll be curious to see where that goes. If there are any updates, I will definitely let you know. For now, I want to get into the Pantifa manual. And thanks again to Mike in New York for sending me this. Again, this is why I reach out to you and I give you my email. Again, new listener in San Diego, Chris, dropped me an email. Say, you know, he had just come aboard. Great. Had that information on the masks up in Oregon. Mike in New York found this information and sent it to me. And this is, let me pull it up here. All right. It's supposedly a genuine Pantifa manual that was dropped in Eugene, Oregon on May 29th during the riot that they had going on there. And it says right on the front cover, which has a wet ring on it. Looks like somebody was actually using it for a coaster at some point. Says, do not distribute to any cis white males, non-people of color, non-LGBTQWXYZ peoples, aka fascists. These people just don't get it. If they want to see a fascist, all they got to do is look in the mirror, because that's exactly what they are. Anyone who doesn't believe their way, they call a fascist. Well, I'm sorry, that's what fascists do. If you don't think like they do and you don't believe like they do, you're automatically the enemy and need to be destroyed. So let me zoom in on this thing here, because what was sent to me is a series of photographs. Introduction. If you were reading this, it's because someone close to our movement trusted you with it. Please do not distribute to anyone who may attempt to harm or denigrate what we are doing. Ha! Busted! This is an anti-fascist or Antifa manual. If you are reading this, you already know that we are a social justice movement against hatred, intolerance, and bigotry. This manual outlines where we've been, where we're at, poor English, and where we're headed within the next 100 years. Yeah, they got this thing planned out, or so they think they do. But first, to understand how we got here, we have to understand white privilege. Oops, scrolled the wrong way. For hundreds, if not thousands of years, the cis white male power structure controlled the media and disbursement of information. I was not aware that the media had been around for thousands of years, but thank you for clarifying that for me. First came the printing press, controlled by white males. Then came mass media such as newspapers and television, controlled by white males. But the next evolution of media was born in a time when the cis white male power structure began to lose its firm grip on the dissemination of ideas. Some of our kind have begun to infiltrate high-level positions of power in major media organizations. Well, that's some cause for concern. And, of course, the new king of idea dissemination is social media. This is the new battleground for our war against fascism. Whites, especially cis white males, have proven to be the greatest evil mankind has ever known. Wow, so much for everybody getting along, right? From Hitler to our very own Harry S. Truman, who dropped the atom bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, to the slave traders of old, no one has proven to do more harm to mankind than the white man. From their murderous plundering, an example given of the Native Americans and African slaves, white males have achieved status and power. That's Jews, by the way, they're not white. Have achieved status and power in the United States and Western Europe. Never indulge any fantasy by the fascists that white men have also cured diseases, lifted people out of poverty through Western capitalism, democracy, or any other facetious claim that they may make about, turn the page, such men. Their gains were only achieved through rape and plunder. My God. Hence, cis white males have inherent privilege in our society. This is the basis on which people of color, LGBTQWXYZ, the disabled, and other groups that need protection will level the playing field and form a new world order, aka one world government. A government by protected classes of people, for protected classes of people, for the protection and betterment of all of humanity. Wow. Creating a culture of tolerance. To create a culture of tolerance, we must first eliminate all forms of hate speech. There you go, abolishing the First Amendment. Every idea critical to our movement or our way of thinking must be condemned as racist, homophobic, misogynist, etc. We have the facts and history on our side. Yeah, right. When all else fails, compare someone to Hitler. Well, that's true, and that's exactly what they do. And this is coming right from their own words. When all else fails, compare someone to Adolf Hitler. Way to go, people. You're just proving our point. Every once in a while, one of our minority group friends will become disillusioned and speak out as a conservative, aka fascist. Belittle them as delusional. They speak against their own rational self-interests. Our color, my blackness, for example, comes first. It defines who I am. Black first, American second, gay lesbian first, little person dwarf second, American third, and so on. Crashing the borders. Most liberals are not Antifa, yet, but soon they will be. Refugee crises such as those created by the situation in Syria are the ideal way to get more people of color into America. They need our help. They are pictures of dead babies who have washed ashore onto beaches, where use imagery such as this to get support for expanding the people of color minority population in the United States. The only thing I can think of they're talking about is where they try and make these mass illegal immigrations and their boats sink. Maybe that's their own damn fault anyway. Never call any immigrant illegal, obviously. They are undocumented. It doesn't matter whether they came over here to smuggle drugs or if they were brought here by their parents at a young age. Migrants from Mexico and South America will play a crucial role in Antifa activities in the next 100 years. By 2117, 100 years from now, our goal is to have 70% of the U.S. population be non-white. That should scare the hell out of you folks. By then, we will hopefully have subverted the power structure enough to eventuate our ends. Control the media. It's important to gain control of the media through any means necessary. In these early stages of this movement, it's important not to alienate any cis white males who are on our side. Nah, just use them. Use white shame and white guilt to kowtow men in positions of power into following our deals. Oh, kind of like these coaches kneeling for the national anthem. Some major media conglomerates are swinging to our side, but they have not gone far enough. No, you always want more. No matter how much you get, you always want more. Social media is the new battlefront of ideals. We've seen what kind of power these outlets yield by kicking major fascists off their platform before. This will and this must only continue. If you are seeking positions of power in the media, be sure to obfuscate and hide your true intentions on the various social media platforms. Better to remain a mystery and wield massive power than blatantly shouting your viewpoints from the hilltops. We have the objective truth on our side. Always project that. Use social media as a baton to slap down anyone who holds fascist viewpoints. Call them racist, homophobic, misogynistic. Create an echo chamber around you. Many of us first learned about Antifa and gained our views on college campuses and universities across the country. This needs to start earlier. Take up teaching as a profession. Educate the youth about the dangers of fascism. Befriend those vulnerable students who you suspect of having fascist-leaning parents. Teach little Timmy not just how to read good, I think you meant well, but also how to think and act good. Once we firmly have control of social media and most major media platforms, it's time to start Operation Truth. The way many social media platforms currently work is that people are primarily exposed to viewpoints they primarily already agree with. This creates a kind of echo chamber for that individual. However, once we control the flow of information, we can slowly start spreading the truth to the fascists who reject our ideology. I think they meant to say idiocy. This must be done very carefully, slowly at first. Begin suggesting a piece of news, video, tweet, or post that the opposition could conceivably believe in. Create new outlets of media that do not come with the baggage of known bias. Convert major new media stars into witting or unwitting pawns for our cause. Believe the way you do or you will be fired. Oh, there's a good one, right? The next crucial step is to threaten the livelihoods of anyone who dares speak out against our agenda. They are, after all, fascists who are clearly racist, homophobic, or misogynistic. You can't run a company with someone like that in your midst. Once we achieve this end, we'll almost be able to taste our victory, yet we will have so much further to go to achieve our ends. Fearing for one's livelihood is clearly a big motivator. Cis white male fascists will begin to hide in the shadows. They may lurk online on message boards and underground media, but will be afraid to speak up using their own voice and name for fear of being labeled a bigot. Many fascist corporate overlords still exist and will offer some of these hate mongers a place to work. But it's only a matter of time before our ranks infiltrate even the most evil of corporations who tolerate such hate speech from their employees. Phase 2. The socialization of capital. Never reveal our endgame, but the obvious next step once we control the media is the socialization of capital. This will obviously require major political power. With hopefully 70% people of color in this nation, we may begin to have a chance at these ends. Obviously, we start with health care. It's, after all, a basic human right. Everyone knows someone who died of cancer or who got sick somehow. Obamacare was better than what we had before, but it was built with the healthcare lobbyist consent. We need single payer and we need it now. Americans have come to accept that it's okay for them to be locked in a cage rather than not pay their taxes. Never mind most of the money collected goes to the military-industrial complex and to encage imperialism abroad. Wars against brown people who happen to live above oil-rich lands. As people of color, LGBTQWXYZ, little people, the disabled, Muslims, and other minority classes slowly become the majority, we will naturally vote pro-Antifa politicians into office. It is, after all, only in our best interest. After healthcare, the next target for socialization will obviously be the media. Use one of the government's only tools against big corporations, antitrust, anti-monopoly laws, to split the media into worker-owned, Antifa-controlled entities. Currently, only the rich and upper-middle class get to enjoy the benefits of Wall Street and all it has to offer. If the workers own and control their own businesses, everyone would win, except the big fat cat CEOs who would be out of a job. We will have to gradually raise the tax rates on both the 1% as well as the mid to upper middle class to achieve our ends. Duh. Raise the minimum wage to a livable wage, especially in places like San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York. Build homes for the homeless and confiscate foreclosed properties from banks to give to the homeless. So if you're not paying taxes, where is all this money going to magically come from? God, these people are stupid. After media, banks and finance will be our next target, followed by technology and manufacturing. One thing we must be aware of is to never let the white man excuse himself of his obligations to us by taking so-called reparations. That time has surely passed and would give the cis white male power structure an excuse to stop caving to our demands. Oh, we gave Jamal $100K in reparations 2 years ago. We don't need to help him now. He has a penniless crack addict on the street now, they will surely say. Speeding up progress. To achieve these ends, there are some tactics that we must use to speed our way towards progress. It's well known that whites in America are not producing as many offspring as their counterparts. Yeah, that is very dangerous. It's important to make abortion on demand and without apology overwhelmingly available in predominantly white communities. We must lower the bar to access birth control in these communities and use media to promulgate the image of childless white people as being sexy, hip, and cool. Meanwhile, the fascists on the right will continue to attempt to restrict access to abortions on demand. Middle-class whites tend to have the ability to pay, even for out-of-state travel, to get their fetuses aborted. And I'm sorry for these pauses as I'm going from page to page here. Currently, the predominantly people of color-dominated poor communities have little choice but to keep a baby to term. Even if sent into foster system, these children will one day lay the groundwork for our eventual New World Order and One World Government. Which brings us to phase three, New World Order. Imagine a world free of hatred and bigotry. Imagine a world where you'll never have to be called the N-word again. Imagine a world where you can be as gay as you want and not be called a raging, dick-sucking faggot, where Antifa ideas reign supreme and all hateful miscegenation speech is eradicated. One way to accomplish this will be to tag or microchip every human being on the planet, and they will do so voluntarily. Methinks I know where this is coming from now. Use the guise of entertainment and other benefits to lure the people to this end. Yes, it's making sense. This chip embedded in the hand or neck will allow Antifa-approved regulators to monitor the citizenry of the world. information accessible by waving a hand a few feet away from the chip would be DNA content, including percentage of color, genetic disadvantages, etc., political leanings scored by past social media posts, earnings, known associates, oh my god, that would be people like me, Antifa status, etc. We must ensure that only Antifa-approved regulators can access this data, lest we veer too far into fascism ourselves. Oh my god, what are these people on? Thus, with the wave of a wand, one would be able to tell whether that vaguely beige-ish-looking person is allowed to use the term nigga. For example, in rap lexicon, it is popular to say, "Where my niggas at? I got who's in different echoes." While clearly, misogynistic, a person of color has the right to use the term nigga. This, folks, this is actually printed in this manual. Antifa regulators will have to determine an acceptable percentage threshold of color in one's DNA that makes it acceptable to use the term nigga. If you are only 17% of African descent, perhaps it is not okay to use that term. Clearly, if you are 1% or less of African descent, it is problematic, although some dark Asians can get away with saying it just because of how dark their skin tone is. However, if someone of, say, 80% Caucasian descent attempts to use the N-word with the hard R, they will clearly be in violation of hate crime speech. While prison would clearly be too harsh of a punishment for such an individual, demotion of status, power, and income would not be out of the question and should be the norm. The issue of using force to achieve our ends is a tricky one. Always shout down fascist opponents, disrupt their speeches, counter-rally their rallies, force the media to show our side as the righteous one that it is. When it comes to the issue of terror, we do not condone mass murder. However, a tiny majority of people who happen to be Muslim have decided to blow themselves up for their cause. Again, getting someone else to do their dirty work for them. Clearly, this is the result of hundreds of years of Western intervention by the cis white males on their culture. Osama bin Laden would not have attacked the World Trade Center and Pentagon had we not dropped atom bombs on Japan in World War II, for example. How in the hell do those two fit together? Please explain that to me. Palestinians are clearly victims and have little to no choice to avenge their relatives' deaths at the hands of the Israeli government. Make no mistake, Jews are a protected class of people, but we do not condone Israeli aggression against Palestinians. Now, let me just pause for a second here. This is, I believe, the last page. Talking about getting the media, everyone in the media, going against Israel to a certain extent, but allowing Jews to be part of them, I am almost willing to bet that this is Israeli propaganda that they are using people of color to fall for, just like they caused everyone in this country to go against the Muslims when it was the Jews who attacked us on 9/11. We'll see how things pan out here, but that's what I'm beginning to suspect, because the way this is written, I really don't think that there are too many Negroes out there that would actually pen this in that manner, but it does sound an awful lot like inflammatory speech, something that's designed to instigate people, and we know who's very, very clever at doing that. Phase 4, one world government. Again, who do we know who's in charge of that, right? And the microchipping. Does it start to make sense to you now? Our movement will eventually spread to other nations. Indeed, it has already begun. Some peoples will prove excessively resistant to our brand of Antifa, such as those who were previously burned by communism or failed socialist states. Every socialist state that's ever been in existence has failed or is very close to failing. What part of that don't they get? Make no mistake, we will prevail where others have failed. No, you won't. Their leaders' lust for status, power, and wealth eventually led them to create layers of power full of corrupt state officials. Antifa have the power of the people on our side, or we will eventually, and will not succumb to such a fate. Yes, you will. It is only natural that the ideologies we espouse spread throughout the globe. Starving Africans will finally be lifted out of poverty when we redistribute the wealth of the Western 1% to them and to our brothers and sisters here at home. Well, if you do that, if you steal it, those people aren't going to be making it back. It's going to be gone. That's something they just don't understand. Now, you're going to love this. Container ship after container ship will be converted to massive passenger cruise liners and will ferry poverty-stricken brown people from around the world to the former United States and Western Europe. Jobs will flower aplenty at all of the world's worker-owned businesses. How? Explain that one to me. If you're taking these jobs away from the people who create them, yeah, they're sitting around smoking crack at home right now. What makes you think they're going to start their own company? God, these people just, they have no clue. Those who can't work will be provided a stipend and unlimited supply of opiates, marijuana, meth, and cocaine to occupy their free time. Can you believe this crap? Still sound too good to be true? It isn't. This is what we're fighting for. This is what we believe. We are Antifa. Either you are with us or you are a fascist. And one final time, please do not distribute to cis white males, non-people of color, non-LGBTQWXYZ, etc. Use common sense. So that, my friends, is what Antifa really wants. I think now you can begin to understand, and now I'm just looking... 40 minutes, I think I went over my time slot. So obviously this is going to be a little bit longer show. But I wanted you to hear that. And by the way, if you want copies of that, feel free to email me. And I will definitely get that sent to you as a file. Because I want that being disseminated. Despite the fact that they don't, at some point in time, it had to come out. And it's going to be people like you and me and other people who are listening. People that we know. To get this sent out via email and make this known for who these people are, what their end game is, and just what they plan on doing to us once it's done. If you don't see a Jewish-led false flag operation going on here, you're not going to see it anywhere.
It's Tommy Freedom.
Here now is an update on Bubba Wallace, who is, of course, the sole black NASCAR driver, who single-handedly took the sport down by demanding that the Confederate flag be removed and essentially destroyed the backbone of what the sport was based upon. And that was a bunch of good old boys from the South celebrating their heritage and displaying that in the form of the Confederate Naval Jack. Well, as I reported to you last week, someone had found a noose in his car stall at Talladega, and there was all kinds of hell being raised over that. Well, as it turns out, I had sent this in, and like 3 hours later, it came out that it was not a noose at all. The FBI had said this was not a hate crime because it was not a noose and had dropped the case. As it turns out, it was a bowline. Now, for those of you who've been in the Boy Scouts, you know what a bowline is. It's a knot. It's a non-slip knot, okay? A noose is designed to slip. It is a slip knot, so it slips nice and tight around your neck and pulls tight and breaks your neck. A non-slipping knot, like the bowline, you can't hang... Well, I guess you could hang somebody with it, but it's obviously it's not a noose. And in fact, what it was simply a rope to pull the garage door down, and somebody had tied a loop in it to make it better. Sometimes, you know, years ago, if you remember the old pull garage doors, they had a big wooden knob with a hole through it. You'd put the rope through and tied a knot in there so you had something to grab a hold of. Those things probably aren't even manufactured anymore. So somebody just tied a loop in it so they could grab a hold of it with their hand and pull it down. That simple. But no. They had to play the race card. They had to drag everybody into this, stating that no fans were there, so it had to be some evil racist that was part of somebody else's team. It was not a noose. Sometimes a noose isn't a noose. Sometimes a rope is, in fact, just a piece of rope. But now, think about this. What if accusations had been made? What if somebody lost their job over this for having been seen in the wrong place at the wrong time? And keep in mind, that rope has been there for, my understanding, at least a year and a half. It's been there a long time. What if somebody lost their job over this? What if that accusation had been made? Even the fact that this wasn't a noose and it was not created to simulate a noose, and it just so happened to be that Bubba got that slot, their lives would be ruined. Their career would be ruined. Their personal lives would be ruined. They would be dragged through the mud on social media, and their lives would be ruined. For what? Yeah, I don't have to tell you for what, because you know exactly the word that I'm thinking, and I'm not going to say it, because of one, yes, that somebody's life would have been ruined. But other people are making light of this. In fact, there is a dirt track owner here in North Carolina who went on social media and was selling lengths of rope and calling it the Bubba Wallace special for $9.95. And I heard about this on the radio, and as soon as I heard the guy's name, Mike Fulp, well, not too terribly far from my remote location in the mountains is Mike Fulp's garage. I did not know that he had race cars, and I did not know that there was a dirt track in Stokes County, but apparently there is. And as soon as I heard it, I said, yep. If you ever watched that show that was on a couple years ago about the dirt track racing in Winston-Salem, it featured Fulps and Browns. They're both local families. They both race each other all the time. It's like, yep, now there's a good old boy, and I guarantee you he probably flies the Confederate flag at his track. Not just one more North Carolina angle into all this stuff, but it is just absolutely sickening how far all of this is going. And again, somebody's life could have been ruined because of this, because of a piece of rope. And once again, sometimes a rope is just a rope. So the final thing I want to talk to you about today, and this will probably get pretty close to a full hour show here, is about Washington, D.C. deciding once again that they want to become a state, and they have petitioned for statehood. So the House has voted to make D.C. a state. It passed the House, but it's not going to pass in the Senate, well, at least not for now. But this is how desperate the liberals are to maintain power. They know they've screwed this up big time, and they're doing everything that they can to retain as much power as they can and to gain even more, because they're slipping so badly that they've got to add a district that is almost 100% liberal to boost those numbers. Now, what this would do is it would add one representative and two senators, and it would greatly shift the balance of power in this country. Now, D.C., as you well know, stands for District of Columbia. It's a district. It was created as a neutral location where representatives from all over the country could meet and govern in a neutral location. It was not for themselves. Now, this proposal would actually just carve out a tiny little portion in the center for that purpose, but it would leave the rest as an independent state. And personally, I don't think that this would hold up in court, because it was created as our nation's capital, where all legal business can be conducted, like printing our money, housing the ambassadors, well, you get the idea. So this would only leave essentially the White House and Capitol buildings, along with a few additional acres as our nation's capital. But the really scary thing about all of this, folks, is the addition of three liberal members to Congress. If this is successful, it's going to set a very dangerous precedent. You could expect to see New York City, Chicago, and all the other liberal strongholds to follow suit. And even if this doesn't pass for now, they've been trying this for decades. I think since the 70s, late 60s, early 70s. They need to pass an amendment to the Constitution that forbids a district from becoming a state, specifically so this can't happen. It is the only district in this country for a good reason. It's essentially a city-state, much like the Vatican is in Rome. Becoming a state would defeat the original intent and purpose that our forefathers had. My goodness, if they could have foreseen the crap that the liberals are doing now to ruin this nation, I don't think the Constitution would have ever been ratified. I think they'd still be working on it, trying to encompass all this stuff they could have never foreseen. But get this. If this is approved, they would retain the initials of D.C., but it would no longer stand for the District of Columbia. It would stand for Douglas Commonwealth, as in Frederick Douglass, the freed slave and abolitionist. They've been renaming areas for Negroes. This is becoming a common thing now. Just like King County, Washington, now claims it was named for Martin Luther Coon, not as in King and Queen counties that are side by side. Counties like in New York City, it's Kings County and Queens County. That's what it was named for. It was not named for a person. I'm telling you, they are pushing this too far and too fast. people are starting to realize what's been going on, and they're going to start to push back if this nonsense doesn't end. And I don't see any end in sight because these people don't know how to end it. All they can do is want more and more and more all the time. And I'm tired of it, and I know you're tired of it too. That's why you tune into this show, to find out what's going on and find out what we can do about it. Well, the first thing that we can do about it is to start disseminating that Pantifa manual to everyone that you know. Get it out there. Send it to the media. If you know local media people, I'm going to do that. I'm going to send it to them. I'm going to send it to everyone I know. I know a couple FBI agents. I'm going to send it to them. I'm also going to send it to that detective that I sent the information to about those gunshots. I will send it to everyone and get it out there as best as I can. And I encourage you to do the same thing. They don't want this getting out there. Let's do the exact opposite. They want to infiltrate us. Let's use this as a way to infiltrate them. They want to know what we're doing. Well, now we want everyone else to know exactly what they're doing. So my friends, on that note, I'm going to call it a week on this show. Just a little over 50 minutes here. I had a lot of information there to try and pack in. I probably could have split it up into two shows, but I just didn't want to do that. It wouldn't have worked out well. So as always, until next week, if you want to get in touch with me for any reason, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. If you're new, want to introduce yourself, that's great. I'd love to hear from you. If you got some information out there that you think we can all benefit from, like this Pantifa manual, please, by all means, get it to me so I can share it and get it out to the rest of us. That's what I'm here for. So until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Until then, stay well, stay out of trouble, stay ahead of the curve, but by all means, stay tuned, because I'll be back next week with another 30 minutes. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.